Okay? Well, certainly Luther and Calvin would have said they weren't talking about anything new. They were talking about restoring the church. Okay, but what did we hear? Baptists out there, Mike?
Well, I heard the term, but I don't think I ever had it explained very well. Certainly not historically.
Yes. Okay. Mike.
I also heard more that it was against the Catholic Church because they didn't teach that. They taught the church, not the Bible.
So they were Protestant. How do you spell Protestant? My mind is not working. Protestant. Is that right? And, all right, so let's raise our hands. Let's quit being pious. How many of you have heard that Baptists are not Protestant? Raise your hand. Some of you are lying if you don't say this. I heard that constantly. Baptists are not Protestants. I never protested anything. Oh, good grief. Some of the piosity stuff. By the way, where would that, somebody tell me where that would come from? Josh? Okay. Yeah, well, see, we got to answer the question, is there's different views of where Baptists came from. Is that correct? So somebody raise your hand and tell me one of those views. Yes. That is correct. Baptists came, you know, I actually heard this in the Philippines, Noel. Jesus was a Baptist. Why was Jesus a Baptist? And I always look at people and I'm like, you do realize being a Baptist, look at me in the eyes, folks, is a collection of beliefs. It's not who baptized you. So does that mean you're not a Baptist because you weren't baptized by John the Baptist? You're a Baptist by a collection of beliefs and ideas. Collections, not one. But by the way, if you believe in the trail of blood, which some of you have seen, then you don't think the Reformation's even significant. Now, Ade, you're looking at funny because you've been in this church. No, I'm not going to teach this nonsense, but in the Philippines, this is the only view. Baptists are not Protestants. They started with Jesus. I actually heard, and I won't mention any names this morning because I'm going to make this nice, that we have never been Protestants. Every denomination has a founder except Baptists, and of course, if you read Reform guys, they're going to say, yeah, Baptists had a founder. His name is John Smith. And I don't know if he founded us in 1609, but he's the first known Baptist. Okay? In England, by the way. Let me just say this. If you believe that everything started with Jesus, and then somewhere around 300 AD is when this so-called beginnings of the Catholic Church began, and then there was these Baptists outside the Catholic Church, the Reformation becomes of no value at all. The Reformation doesn't even influence us. We always believe the truth. Some of them got back to a little bit of truth. This is pretty typical in a lot of circles. Anybody heard these kind of things? It's kind of interesting. Some of you don't know what you've heard in the past. I don't know what that means exactly. Tim? Has nothing to do with us. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, so let's ask another question. Go ahead, Debbie. Do you want to say something?
I didn't even hear about it in the Lutheran church. I got saved in the Lutheran church.
You can't get saved in the Lutheran church. That's your problem right there. Next. Probably that's true. Anyone else? Zach, you look intelligent. What have you learned? Now, you've had Dr. Saxon, so you're a fount of all wisdom. So nice. Who else wants to comment? Yes, ma'am. You grew up in a Free Presbyterian church. Well, a lot of them don't. A lot of them would stand condemned by the council, by the Synod of Dort in 1618, of which, by the way, Baptists did partake of that, but not if you're make-believe Baptist, yes. By the way, folks, I could talk all day on this stuff. You know, I've actually read a little bit of Baptist history. If you think Baptist, you know, if you hold to a landmark position, which means this, a Baptist church started a Baptist church, which started a Baptist church, which started a Baptist church, there's always been Baptist churches. That's called landmark beliefs. You don't need a reformation. You were always right. Everybody else is wrong. It goes really well with King James Onlyism. You put those two together and you really got a cult going. Yes. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Pam. I'll come to you in a moment, Louie. Okay. Were you taught that, or maybe you learned that of Bob Jones? Or you don't remember? Well, I never even heard the Reformation, but you've been here a little longer than me through the years. I never heard the Reformation mentioned that I remember. I'm sure you heard of it, BJ. Steve. Move along. Yeah, Louis?
Yeah, in high school, probably we had studied religion. We were good Catholics, we had this book. And then the Reformation was, they were cultic, they were pictures of witches. So for us, they were the enemies.
So ah.
We were brainwashed all the way. And now, 40 years later, I'm part of the witches.
What an American.
Pandaki is a mankukulam. Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. Trail of Blood would be where you grew up, yeah. Frenchie, you have family, your wife has family that are of what? Are they Christians? Excuse me, evangelical Christians. Let's stop there. And?
But
I never heard that in Frenchie. I have been enlightened this morning. Okay, I'm going to do something on the board. I'm doing this for you. I think this will actually, for a few of you, you can learn to actually think about something that will put some things in perspective. I'm not going to attack anybody, but before we begin, we must start with this. From the 1860s, after the Civil War in the United States, you cannot think of any denomination apart from the 1860s to the 1920s. And during that period of time, Walter, what happened in religious circles? I'm not a trick question. This was the battle with liberalism. And liberalism affected every group. So when we discuss the Reformation, that's 500 years ago, correct? Actually, that's Luther. John Calvin was much, much younger than Luther. And Zwingli was more or less a contemporary with Luther. My point is, you cannot just say Lutherans, Presbyterians, because after this period of time, Frenchie is saying, I'm assuming you know this, that when you say Lutheran, my next question would be what, Ron? Thank you, Ron. Which group of Lutherans are you talking about? If you're talking about the evangelical Lutherans of America, I know that falls on which divide? The liberal. If you're talking about Missouri Synod, I know that's going to fall on the conservative. So you've got to ask, folks, you cannot sleep through your life. When you talk about a Lutheran, that sounds like the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, a liberal denomination. Okay? Missouri Synod, and then there's the Wisconsin Synod, which is very odd. Very odd. It's conservative but weird. So I don't even understand them. Okay? What about Presbyterians? Ron, what's the first question? And by the way, I'm going to ask questions because if you can't think, and some of you have been deacons for years and you cannot answer simple questions. If you asked Presbyterian, the next question, Ron, I've just asked it about Lutherans. What kind of Presbyterian are we talking about? All right, what's the liberal denomination? Someone raise your hand. Yes. Presbyterian Church, USA. And you're going to have lesbian pastors. You're going to have the whole thing. Gay pastors, gay marriage. Look at me, folks. It affected every denomination in America, including Baptist. So when you look at Baptist, they don't even hardly call themselves this. In the state of Illinois, Baptist started down where I'm from. Remember John Mason Peck, 1820s. But the churches down there, most of them are going to be Southern Baptists. Some of them are going to be independent. They're going to, now, as far as I know, I don't know about Jerseyville because I've never been to that church and don't know its context. But even the Northern Baptist, which is now called the American Baptist Convention or something. So you have to ask what Baptist group are you talking about because they either fall out liberal or conservative too. Are you all with me? We're going to fall out, I'm assuming you know, on the conservative side. So I'm not asking silly questions. You need to learn to think about things. Otherwise, our church sounds like a bunch of yahoos from the sticks. And by the way, I don't like yahooism, in case you haven't figured out. Let me give you something very, very simple that will help you. Now, again, when we talk about the Reformation, you can't just talk about it. You have to talk about when liberalism after the Civil War blew into America and affected all the denominations. And this is true, well, this is much worse in Europe than it is here. My goodness, you'd have a hard time finding a Bible-believing church in most countries in Europe, outside of a few mission-oriented churches from America that are missionary-oriented, except England. England has some. Most of the denominations are so liberal, and they have been liberal for a long time. Some of them before the Civil War, way back. Walter? Well, but you do also know. Yes. But even in this particular area, there was a section of the Evangelical Lutheran Church that just recently pulled out when they passed the gay marriage thing. I mean, just there were several churches. St. Mark's, it's out, not close, it's out farther west, I don't, Lindenhurst or farther. I know that church pulled out. The pastor actually went there to pull them out. And over a 10-year period, he pulled them out, and they're still Lutheran, but they're a different variety. All right, I'm going to give you something to think about this, and I'm going to make this real simple. And I think if you grasp this, then you can start having a conversation about the Reformation. Are you ready? I'm going to call it this: the good, the bad, and no, not ugly like Frenchie. We're not talking about that. The confused. So what? It's not very well drawn. By the way, I wrote this up here because this will give you a way of thinking. Do you understand? Thinking. It'll give you glasses in which to look through. The only thing this won't help you with is one thing. It will not help you with the liberalism issue. You must be able to remember every... By the way, even the Catholic Church has been highly affected by liberalism. Highly affected. My goodness, you can go to Catholic churches where they're just... I talked to this guy, Tim Durham. I talked to that young guy that was the priest. He thinks the present pope is wonderful. And this guy is a left-wing liberal as a pope. Whereas John Paul II was pretty conservative, and the guy in between was arch-conservative. They're all over the map. I'm assuming you know this, even for Catholics. The good. Well, this is the good. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Ephesians 2? Let's see if we know some verses. Here is the good. First of all, this. I think if I was to name one thing that is very, very, very good, would be this. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, John Knox, if we're talking about Presbyterianism in Scotland, which is a little later, all of these people, now, before liberalism, go back, remember, Reformation days, 1500s, you had the restoration of the gospel. All right, Pastor Kowak, let's see if we can actually find it. Ephesians 2. No, we're not going to begin in verse 8. We're going to begin in verse 1. Pastor Kowak?
And you had been quickened with dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among them also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
That's good enough. Now, folks, if you were a member of this church, please don't tell me you ever heard the five solas mentioned before this guy came here, because I know the two previous pastors. The five solas of the Reformation, by the way, are to me the central element that the Reformation, look at me, they didn't invent it. Martin Luther, take a breath, all of you Landmark Baptists. Martin Luther was witnessed to by a Catholic priest that understood the gospel. He was Augustinian. It was after the Reformation, the Council of Trent, when the Catholic Church that you know of became 100% what it is. Before that, there was elements of freedom. But my point is, in the Reformation, the one thing they gave us crystal clear was the gospel. And here are the five solas of the Reformation. They're on our website. I didn't create them. Sola gratia, which means by grace alone. Sola fide, which means through faith alone. When I heard this Billy Baptist, I call him a Billy Baptist, down at First Baptist Church of Danville, talking about Luther not being saved, I'm like, you must not have ever read Luther. Because Luther was not a great thinker systematically, but as a genius, the man was just, he had insight into certain things that were brilliant. Now, you're going to ask, as my buddy Frenchie says, some of the people you know, maybe you're saved and some of them aren't, but even the ones that you think are, they don't really care much about a lot of things, do they? That's because of the whole package. We're going to get to that part in a moment. But these concepts, solus Christus, because of Christ alone, this is my way of fleshing this out. And why is the word alone so important? Because the Reformation's big divide was one thing. Roman Catholic Church believed in Christ, still does. Believes in grace, still does. Just like some Arminian Baptist. It's faith and it's plus, 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 plus. And you never really figure out what it means, the gospel. It was always, let's look at a passage, Romans 3:28. This was Martin Luther's big verse, Romans 3:28. I think Dr. Moritz preached on this, didn't he? Pretty sure he did. Pastor Koch, Romans 3:28. Without the what? That is right here. Sola fide, through faith alone. Always in the Scripture, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone, based on Scripture alone. And I'm running out of room, and my handwriting doesn't get better when I run out of room. And this is to God alone. Yes. And though this is not the time, Emily, to talk about this, the sovereignty of God in salvation, all it does is emphasize it's by grace alone. From beginning in eternity past to eternity future, it's all of God's grace. It isn't just God's grace after you get saved or at the point of salvation from eternity past to eternity future, if there is such a thing. That's the grace of God. By the way, the Reformation, what was good? There's at least three things to me are essential that the Reformation restored. And if you're a Billy Baptist, or you hang out with Billy Baptist, I dare you, I challenge you, meaning you believe in landmark Baptist foolishness. Look at me in the eyes. I challenge you to find any Baptist before the Reformation, anybody that has a name and writing that teaches this. Show me the person. Baptists came out of the English Reformation, folks. Don't kid yourself. There's two other things that I think are essential to understand that the Reformation restored to us. Tragically, not all Baptists believe this. The gospel, and I'm going to have to cheat. I'm going to steal some of the bad over here. The second thing is this. Because the gospel is true, by the way, one of the beliefs, the distinctives of Baptists, not the only one, and we're not the only ones that believe this, is we believe in the priesthood of all believers, which means what? We don't need a priesthood. We are the priesthood. We don't need somebody between us and God. There is somebody between us and God. That's His Son. And because of that, we are all priests unto God. 1 Peter, look in your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2. And by the way, this is 100% from Martin Luther. Now, Calvin believed this, and it's, by the way, priesthood of the believer is hard to find from Luther. Look at me, you have a hard time finding it from anybody before, even the good men like Augustine or Augustine. It's hard to find the priesthood of the believer because these ideas that you need help to get to God started early. You know, you need Mary, you need the saints, you need the priest, you need the priest to do his business. Or if you're a Billy Baptist, you need the man of God to tell you what God teaches. Are you there? Where are we turning to? 1 Peter 2, Tim? Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and then 9 and 10. So we are what? What does that say about us? Read that last verse again.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God.
Folks, the moment you remove the church and works, and everything is based on the grace of God, and it's God who saves, the priesthood starts to dissolve. Why do you think the Roman Catholic Church hated the Reformation? They had to hate the Reformation. Look at me. Because the whole Catholic Church was built on one false premise called works. You pull that out, the whole house collapses. And they knew this. It was always Christ plus. And guess where the plus stuff came from? The Roman Catholic Church. Or the Church of Christ. Or every cult under the sun. It's always Christ plus, 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 plus. Boy, you pull that out, the house collapses. They knew this. That's the reason they hate this. This is all through the scripture. You know this, don't you? Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Dada, you got it, buddy? Why don't you read it for us, please? Understand something, friend. When you look at me in the eyes, when you do not read the scripture, you are declaring in practice, I am a Roman Catholic. When you do not spend time with the living God, by the way, the Reformation opened the door, what the scripture had always taught, that it's the individual's relationship with God through his Son. For through him, Ephesians 2:18, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is fundamental. Martin Luther is the guy that hammered the priesthood. Look at me, not of every believer, because that becomes individualistic. I don't have to listen to anybody, it's just me, but of all believers, which means if you're saved, you have access to God, I have access to God, we all have access to God. Rarely will I ever say, I am a priest. I will normally say, we are priests. Because I believe it always is in the plural. Though it's okay, I mean, it is individual. So you say, what good came out of the Reformation? The gospel was clarified. Well, that is until Arminianism came into being. And a bunch of the foolishness has been taught in Baptist circles. Priesthood of all believers, and I never like to say anything good about Debbie. Did you all know that? Never. But she said one good thing. The Bible in, what term should I use? I know what term they used, but it sounds terrible in modern English. Vulgar, is that spelled correctly? But if I say vulgar, Atong, you think that means, but back in those days, vulgar just meant the common language as opposed to Latin. Now, friends, you say, what did the Reformation do? Those three issues: the gospel, the priesthood of all believers, and no, Tyndale was not a Baptist. Tyndale, which basically 95% of the King James Version New Testament was translated by Tyndale, and Tyndale was, somebody tell me what he was. If you know the dates, he did it in 1526. He was a Lutheran. He was a follower of Luther, of course. There wasn't anybody else at that time. But he got the gospel, priesthood of all believers in the Bible in, how about this, common languages. And we now have a hyper King James movement, you know. And they don't want the Bible in the common language either. Finally, in the Philippines, this New Testament, the Tagalog New Testament, is going to come out. It's already done. It's going to be printed in the next 3 or 4 months. It took them about 15 years to do because over there they prefer King James only among people who barely read English. And how do I know they barely read English? Because I teach them and I look at them when they read passages and I realize 2/3 of what they're reading they do not understand. I love the King James, but I grew up on it. Try to teach 1611 English to a person from the Philippines and not even from Manila, a person from province areas. And some brilliant King James only person will say something like this. Well, bless God, you need to teach them. You are denying everything that our forefathers died for, which is that they have a translation that they can understand. It's just that simple. And I'm going to say this. There's people in this room that read the King James. You don't know what you're reading. That's the reason you need to think about these things. I will. If it's an on-task question, I'll take it. Yes. Oh, they have a Tagalog version of the Bible that no one understands. I don't know what kind it is. All I know is nobody understands it. No, it's not even that. I don't know what it is. What is it, Noel? You can't read it, can you? Tagalog is very different today, yes. But there, yes. But it's not 1611. It's something, I don't know what it is. It's weird. Walter? Yeah, but that just takes whole other levels of the Latin Vulgate. I'm not going there, Walter. Common language. Yeah, I know. All right, so let's answer the question. What good was the Reformation? What good? Three things. In a big way. The gospel was clarified. We have the Bible in common languages, or at least we have that. Why do you think we support Bibles International? We want people to have the Bible in a language they understand. And thirdly, priesthood of all believers. Now, what's the bad? I'm not going to try to be mean here. There's one huge bad from the Reformation. They could never untangle the state and the church. And friends, you're looking at a guy that just read a brand new biography, 400 pages on Roger Williams, the first Baptist in America. Our founding fathers, of which, Mom, I don't know if you know this, but one of them is our family. One of our family members came here in 1629 as a Puritan pastor. Those men believed almost identically to what we believe, with the exception of two things. They were all infant baptizers because they were independent Congregationalists. And number two, they wanted that church and state together. And let me just say this. If you were a Baptist in Massachusetts and you decided to be a Baptist, this is what they did to Obadiah Holmes. They whipped him nearly to death. Because, hear me, the Puritans believed in religious freedom for themselves. They were great people. The first person that understood separating these two and actually lived and died by that principle was a Baptist, Roger Williams. He was the first one. I don't have time to teach this. It's amazing to me his connections to England. I did not know all those connections. I did not know that he knew Oliver Cromwell as a kid. I didn't know who he grew up around. He had lots of connections, but my point is Baptists are the first people that understood you don't have to have the state supporting the church. And the state doesn't decide if you don't tithe, we're coming to your house and putting you in the pillory, you know, where your head through the thing. Or worse than that, even in America, Ade, you like this? Puritans, godly people, if you differ from them, The first thing they'd do is cut your ears off. They would snip your nose. They would pull your tongue out with an awl, and they'd make it hot, and they'd stick it through your tongue, so you had a hole in your tongue. That wasn't, look at me in the eyes, that wasn't in Europe, that was in America. By the way, did we ever have state-sponsored religion in America? Massachusetts had state-sponsored religion to the 1830s. Now, in the Constitution, it kind of downplayed that, but that was because of Roger Williams in the 1600s, and frankly, in a nutshell, George Washington so appreciated the Baptist who fought. And this is not religion. I'm not doing Billy Baptist stuff. The Baptist who were loyal to this country, George Washington said, we will not persecute Baptists. That's the reason we have a separation of church and state. The state doesn't enforce the church. In Calvin's city, there was a guy there that didn't believe in the Trinity. They eliminated him. By the way, right here on the square in Boston, they burnt people alive in America. You say, why? One guy said it this way. He said, I got out of England to escape the Lord's bishops, the Anglican Church. He says, now I need to get out of America to escape the Lord's brethren. Because everybody wants freedom for who? Except Roger Williams. And that's not a maybe. You can still buy his book. It's this thick and it's wordy. But his basic premises of the state does not enforce the church. Churches can be independent, take care of themselves. That was the ugliest part of the Reformation. Now, I don't have a lot of time because I want to get to the last one. I'll just say this. Martin Luther, I know for sure, understood there could be an independent church from the state. But he was in the middle of wars. So he could never figure out how to bring it to pass without the Catholics. Just remember, 1618 to 1648, one-third of people in Europe perished in the religious wars. One out of three. This was no picnic. John Calvin never had interest. John Calvin wanted the state to enforce the church, and he'd put the hammer down if you disagreed in any area. That's the problem. We know Zwingli did this because he killed some of his own students. Remember, I can't remember the guy's name, but he says, if you want to baptize adults, fine, we'll baptize you. Tied his arms back like this, tied his legs together, and look at me, put him in the river and drowned him. That's Zwingli, as Dr. Moritz says. And he got what was coming to him. He got killed in battle himself. What is the confused? Are you guys ready for the confused? Now, I'm going to answer if Frenchie has mind to get a system as opposed to periods and commas. Now you'll understand the problem with the Reformation, and there was only one. The confused. Not the bad, the confused. And why was that a problem? Because all of a sudden, look me in the eyes, this brilliant gospel that you think you understand, why are you baptizing babies? And then all of a sudden you get what? And all of a sudden the very things you're preaching on the left hand, you're denying with the right hand. I heard a Lutheran pastor, professor at Missouri Synod, preach one of the best sermons I ever heard on justification by faith. At the end of that sermon, after talking about justification by faith alone from Romans, he says, and now we are all children of God by our baptism. What? So what happens, Frenchie, is people, if you read a Missouri Synod doctrinal statement, you'll think that sounds like what we believe. But the problem is, when you put infant baptism in, something's got to give. And what usually gives, not always, we had a teacher here that taught here 10 years. His name was Mr. Bowers. Mr. Bowers understood the gospel better than probably anybody in this room but one or two people. He was brilliant in the gospel. I don't know what he did with baptism, but most Lutherans, when you talk to them about Christianity, they're going to talk about, well, I was baptized. So they can never shake off all the Reformation. You say, what is a Baptist? I believe we're part of the Reformation. I believe the only difference is we're part of the radical Reformation. We went further than these groups went. And we shook off that, and we shook off that. But I think as long as you have this, you're going to have confusion about what does that baptism do for you? See, in a Baptist church, everybody know baptism is what? Baptism is a symbol, the death, burial, and resurrection. It's a way we identify with Christ. It's a picture of our union with Christ. In the Reformed churches, folks, I went to a Presbyterian seminary, my second master's degree. He was like talking around in circles to hear these guys. And none of the Presbyterians believe that baptism saved you. None of them. But Lord, help me trying to explain that to a normal person. Now, you were part of the Free Presbyterian, which were more baptistic in many ways. But if you get into a Westminster Presbyterian, and just to throw this out, so some of you have a complete heart attack, they call infant baptism, the Latin phrase is pedo baptism. Pedo meaning the baptism of children. Would you believe there are some that believe in this? And there's more of them than you think. And look at me. If you believe in infant baptism, I cannot think of any reason why you don't believe in infant communion. Because if a child is part of the covenant by birth, and because of their parents, then the child is ready for communion. No, I believe that every person is born a sinner into this world. I believe that every person has to come to Christ in due time. At that point, then they are baptized. And at that point, after baptism, they're ready for what we're going to do this morning, Lord's Supper. Now, everyone look at me, and I'm done. Does this make sense to you? What do we think about the Reformation? Are Baptists reformed? And the answer is, I hope so. But I believe in radical reformed. We went back all the way. We didn't stop with just the gospel. And may I say this? If you don't take care of infant baptism and infant communion is less common, people become confused. So, Frenchie, that's the reason when you talk to a Lutheran, you're sitting there wondering, are they saved? Are they not saved? And the answer is, I hope they're saved. But I can tell you this, especially in the liberal groups, most of them are not. The good, the gospel, the priesthood of all believers, and the Bible in languages people speak. The bad, the mixture. The confused, infant baptism. That explains the Reformation from where we're from. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable morning. We ask in Christ's name. Thank you.